Hey everyone, welcome back to Blood and Guts. Today's episode is brought to you by water, because that is what I used to just take 17 splinters out of my hand. How are you doing, Jenna?
Did you not use
They
tweezers?
were really small, and so I couldn't see them, and I get them out with tweezers, so I stuck my hand in a bowl of water and they came out.
Okay.
Well, just okay, cool intro. Let's keep going. Welcome to volume 9 of A Little Bloody, and you get to hear my voice again. So sorry because I messed up things a while ago. Again, Jenna doesn't know what we're doing. I told you we're doing something regarding plastic surgery. Do you have any guesses?
Girl, you think I've had one clear thought in the last 2 days? You think I even remembered you saying that?
Well, the trigger warning for today, and I know this is a true crime podcast, we're going to be covering triggering things, but certain things can be
I have my
more
theory,
sensitive.
but.
Okay, can be, you can, some people are more sensitive to it. So today we're going to talk about some gruesome medical and plastic surgery details that include anesthesia awareness. Do
I can't
you
pronounce his last name.
want to make a guess? I think you're on the right track.
The only one I have is Dr. Death.
Okay, well, there's a couple Dr. Deaths.
Well, Christopher, whatever his last name is.
No, that's
I don't
not who we're
remember.
talking about. That's not who we're
That's
talking about.
the one I'm most familiar with.
And I'm not even going to tell you because we're just going to get into the story. Once it rings a bell, just pop in. Okay.
I don't want to do that.
You don't want to do that. Okay. So, Alexander Baez was a 47-year-old bodybuilder, former Mr. Mexico and Mr. Universe runner-up. He went in on April 13th, 1999 to get a pectoral enhancement procedure in South Beach, Miami, Florida, at Miami Beach's Ocean Health Center. That morning, he woke up from anesthesia-induced sleep to a stabbing pain in his upper torso. This was a surgery that was supposed to last an hour and a half, and it actually went on for longer than 4 hours. Baez had woken up repeatedly during the operation, moaning in pain. He remembered fingers poking inside a jagged wound in his chest, as well as a cooking spatula. He woke up with breast implants, specifically a pair of female C-cup breasts. He had to walk around like this for several months until the breasts could be removed. The South Beach Police Department said, quote, Mr. Baez, who had been given ketamine, an anesthetic used on animals, kept waking up in tears as Mr. Rinaldo tried to force the two large implant into his chest. Baez said, quote, they told me everything was okay. I couldn't talk. They sent me home immediately. Do you not know who we're talking about?
I do, but know that there really was only one Dr. Death.
Was there really? Well, Harold Shipman was called Dr. Death.
Yeah, but
But the one
like
that you were
the
talking,
Dr. Death.
the Dr.
That's
Death is
like the
just
actual Dr. Death.
Harold Shipman.
No. No.
He's literally
That's
called Dr.
Christopher.
Death.
That's not like the baby Dr. Death, though. He's like the other one that they called the same names because they didn't have anything else.
Yeah, I listened to a podcast about Christopher, whatever his name is, and I didn't really enjoy it that much. But I know they called it Dr. Death. But again, Harold Shipman's
Dunst?
also called Dr. Death.
Dunst? I don't know how to
Oh
pronounce it. I
yeah,
don't know how to spell
Harold,
it. Christopher
not
Dunst?
Harold, Christopher
That's Dr.
Dunst.
Death. Yeah,
Okay,
that's
all
like
right,
the real one.
right. Okay, well,
Your
neither of
fake
those
little
people are
man.
neither of those
Fake
people
little
are who
man.
we're talking about today. So that was a great segue. But we're not talking about either of those today.
Yeah, because
We're talking.
I was like, no. There is one. There is only one.
Yeah. So today, the guy we're talking about is nicknamed the Butcher of South Beach.
Yeah.
And the man responsible for this was 58-year-old Rinaldo Silvestre. His full name is God, and this is it, this is located in America, but it centered around like Cuban and Cuban like citizens, and so it's a lot of names that I'm gonna try my very best to pronounce. You can correct me if I'm wrong. His full name is Reinaldo de la Concepcion Silvestre. Does that sound right to you?
Well, if it's Cuban, his first name might be just pronounced Reinaldo.
Reinaldo?
Yeah.
I've heard multiple people pronounce it Reinaldo, and that's why, but it's also the news where I got this. I got my information from the New York Times, the Chicago Tribune, and also the lawyer's website that worked on this case. And when I watched a video, they pronounced it Reinaldo, but it could, whatever.
My Spanish vowels say Reinaldo, but I'm not Cuban, clearly.
Okay. So, like I said, he was Cuban-born, but he lived on Hibiscus Island on Miami Beach. From the spring of 1998 to May 1999, tons of people came to the Ocean Health Center for cosmetic surgery and came out with severely botched bodies that he, like, normally charged $3,000 to $4,000 for. So, as you can probably guess, Silvestre was not a plastic surgeon, but he was also not a doctor at all, and he held no license to practice medicine anywhere. Here's a quote from Enrique Tonez, an investigator with the Department of Health's Unlicensed Activities Office. Quote, the man was a butcher. The techniques he used were those of a medical examiner working on a corpse. So, gruesome, ugly stuff. All right, so I told you the story that kind of got this case rolling, but let's hop back in time. Let's talk about his origin story. We're going to go back in time in a little flashback and talk about the super villain origin story. So eventually authorities gathered some information on this man's career. His career as a heavy air quotes surgeon began in war. When a Cuban expeditionary force fought in the Angolan Civil War in the late 80s and 90s, Silvestre worked as an army doctor. He arrived in the U.S. in 1992, penniless, and began treating patients in his home. And by 1997, he had met 49-year-old real estate Sophie Baza. We do not stand Sophie. They moved to Hibiscus Island just off Miami Beach, like I said, in, Biscayne Bay. You can yell at me if I pronounce that wrong. That's not just to you, but that's to everyone listening. I probably pronounced that wrong. December 1997, Silvestre opened Ocean Health Center down the hall from Baza's Sunshine Realty. He mainly used flyers and word of mouth to get his business out there, and he pursued clients in Miami's Cuban community, probably because, you know, he probably catered to, when I was looking at the news report on this, it was like he catered to like Cubans and like Hispanics, and probably because if they were illegal, they wouldn't have that issue to deal with when they were bringing up records for medicals or medical records or whatever. Silvestre duped local physicians basically into lending him legitimacy. He even listed real doctors as his associates, such as Manuel. It's not spelled like Manuel Lazaro Romero. My dearest apologies to this man. He was an MD who received mail at the office, yet the only work done at the center was by Silvestre. He had trouble gaining access to necessary medical and surgical supplies, hence the kitchen instruments. So, really gross all around. June 1998, a Cuban-born woman from Hialeah, Florida, I'm not quite sure, named Jeanette Bernal was in search for a good cosmetic surgeon. She was a 31-year-old mental health professional and had heard about Silvestre from a psychologist cousin who said she knew him at Fajardo Hospital in Havana. She said that Silvestre was, quote, intelligent and well-spoken, totally the opposite of vulgar. He seemed like a person who knew what he was talking about. So Silvestre recommended implants, and Bernal paid him $4,500, half in cash, and made an appointment on June 20th. She noted that the offices seemed to be hidden and tucked back along a corridor on the third floor, and there was never anyone in the waiting room. I wonder why. On the day of the operation, Bernal brought her cousin to the office with her. While her cousin was in the waiting room, she heard moans, sobs, and screams coming from the operating room. Never a good sign, I must say. The nurse told her she doesn't feel anything and that she was just having a bad reaction to the anesthesia. Remember, this anesthesia, animal tranquilizer, so not meant to be used on humans. Bernal said she remembered, quote, being thrown into a long, dark tube in my mind. She reportedly talked about being on a boat and bleeding through her shirt. But you know what? After all this, Silvestre was like, surgery, absolute success. You look beautiful. A couple days later, the cross-stitched sutures began to open, and she went back in on July 5th to get them removed. Silvestre took out a few of them and left the rest to close the incisions. Bernal started to notice her breasts seemed lopsided, the left bigger than the right, but Silvestre said they were perfect and would heal soon. Bernal said, quote, no big deal. That's what his catchphrase was. They were the only words I know in English. I'm not sure if that was like, the only words that he knew in English or she knew in English. I'm not quite sure. One of them. Her incisions would not heal, and throughout the following months, she had more problems, more assurances from Silvestre, and more operations. Now, this is where it gets difficult. The flesh began to decay around the now infected sutures and gave off a terrible stench. Bernal was returning to Silvestre almost daily, so he would snip away the skin with surgical scissors. November 15th, 1998, she went on the table again. Silvestre administered only local anesthesia, and I'm not quite sure what the difference between just local anesthesia is and regular anesthesia. Do you know?
I don't.
I think just local anesthesia doesn't knock you out all the way. I think. I don't know, but she was able to feel this one a lot more. So he administered the anesthesia, opened the sutures again. He forced his way under her skin, and Bernal said, quote, it was very difficult emotionally to see someone's hand inside my breast. I cannot imagine. So she could clearly see what was going on.
I don't know how long local anesthesia lasts, but the whole point of it being local is that it's supposed to be in one part.
Yeah.
Of your body. I don't know how long it lasts, but it's just supposed to be a smaller version.
Okay.
People can be awake.
Well,
they're either awake or just sedated. They're not usually
You think it just like numbs the area? You think that's what local anesthesia does?
Yeah, it's used for ones where like you would go in for something like super small and you could like go home right
okay.
after. Like you're not usually like passed out. It's like you're either a little numb or drowsy or just like having a great time. And it's like just for like your face or your leg or whatever. It's not your whole body.
I probably should have looked up what local anesthesia was. My bad. You can
I'm just going off.
Listeners can yell at us later.
Well, like they do it a lot at like the dentist.
Oh yeah, they'll give you like is that what laughing gas is something different, though. Or is that the same thing?
No, the laughing gas is usually just, like, the sedation, I think.
Okay.
But, like, the injection itself would be the anesthetic. Like, the ones they put into, like, your bottom jaw.
Oh, got it. Okay.
Yeah. Anyways. Right. So sorry.
You're
visit your dentist. Tell them what local anesthesia is.
Well, if we're going with the fact that this is, like, it numbs the area, that was definitely not the case here, because, trigger warning, I know I said it before, but this is difficult. Silvestre used staples to close the wound. Bernal said, quote, I cried like I had never cried in my entire life. Can you imagine?
Yes.
The pain.
Yes, I can.
And
I have stapled myself.
Whoa.
On accident.
And knowing this dude, this was probably like an office stapler. Like a freaking like not that there's medical staplers, but
it's like when the teachers decorate the bulletin boards outside of classrooms, yeah, and they have, like, exactly, those fun borders, except that's, like,
disgusting. Skin. Ugh, gross. So, after this, Silvestre thought, oh my god, you know, I might find myself in court. So, he attempted to take his first and only step at legitimizing his practice. On November 19th, 1998, he completed the initial application to become a certified doctor in the state of Florida. Now, wait till you hear this. Quote, he took the first of numerous exams given to prospective MDs. He failed four times and never again pursued his medical license. So he took this test four times and was like, you know what? Nah, I'm just going to keep doing stuff illegally. His activities still remained unchecked, and he directed Baza, his, I think, wife at this time, wife or fiance, to attract clients by offering holiday specials on boob jobs to help with business. All right, now this name, I'm very not sure how to pronounce. So his next client was a woman by the name of Milady Pimienta.
Yeah.
Okay, that's the only way that I can think of pronouncing her first name, because it's literally spelled M-I-L-E-I-D-I, like Milady. I'm just gonna, that's just what seems right to me. So she was a 26-year-old model who first contacted Silvestre about a breast enlargement in March 1998. Silvestre quoted her a price of $86,000, which was too high, but on December 1st, 1998, Baza called and said they were having a Christmas special and it was only $3,000, which, huh? How can you possibly get away with that low of a, never mind. We'll see it come back later. So she got the surgery soon after, just like Bernal, her sutures suppurated, which is like leaking, and began to leak a thin liquid that went from pink to yellow. When she returned to Silvestre, he resorted to a makeshift arrangement to intubate the wounds. Quote, he cut one of the fingers off of his surgical gloves and used that as a drain. Very not professional at all. So Silvestre basically stuffed one end of the glove's latex finger into the incision, which would allow the discharge to leak through. And that, I cannot even begin to explain how wrong that is. He kept Pimienta in this for 2 weeks and required her to come in and change the latex finger every day, including Christmas and New Year's, because this was like around that time. She said, quote, one breast was big and the other was small. The implants were rotating inside me. I had a lot of pain. Silvestre constantly reassured her. She said, quote, he played with my emotions. He made me feel as though the problem was with me because he said that I was anemic and diabetic or I had AIDS. It was all my fault. As she waited to see Silvestre one day, she saw a legal document on the pile of papers on his desk. She found it was a paper indicating that Jeanette Bernal had sued him for malpractice. This was pretty big for Pimienta because she found that she was, you know, not alone in this. And this really helped because she was already contemplating her own suit against him. So Bernal had a lot of trouble finding a lawyer because she was broke and unable to work because of the pain from her operations. She was also unable to have sex, and her boyfriend eventually left her. Bernal eventually met Spencer Ehrenfeld, a young lawyer from Coral Gables, Florida, who agreed to take her case. He said, quote, this lady's breasts resembled a double mastectomy when she came to me. They didn't look like human breasts. So at first, Ehrenfeld thought it was a typical malpractice case, but Silvestre's attorneys told him that Bernal was uninsured and all the money went out of the case because no insurance obviously meant no one to sue. So he was still at a stand. He was at a pretty big standstill until Pimienta and Baez entered the case. So I already mentioned Baez, but we can go, we're going to go a little bit back into where he met Silvestre. So he met him in spring 1999 at Pancho Villa, a Mexican restaurant close to Ocean Health where Baez worked. He said, quote, immediately, you think this is a very, very successful doctor. Sure. The next time Silvestri visited the restaurant, Baez mentioned he wanted to take care of some indentations on his chest that might hold him back if he returned to the bodybuilding world. And Silvestri said it wasn't a problem and that Baez would be out of work for a week and back at the gym within a month. He quoted a price of $2,000, which covered only his expenses and the fee for the anesthesiologist. Silvestri asked Pimienta and her boyfriend, David Gonzalez, now working as a driver for Silvestri, to videotape the surgery to show other doctors at a Boston conference he was attending. There are many things wrong with this statement. He asked a former patient and her boyfriend, who apparently was now a driver for him, hey, you want to come in and videotape this surgery that I'm about to do? Like, you get professionals. And also, surgeries can be recorded, but why are you asking a former patient? Like, makes no sense. So, Pimienta and Gonzalez thought a video would be a perfect addition to the malpractice suit they were making against Silvestri. So, they agreed, and they came back to the Ocean Health Center on April 12th, and Baez went under the anesthetic and on videotape. So, Silvestri opened a 2-inch incision in Baez's right breast just below the nipple instead of the armpit, which is where pectoral implants are normally inserted. He used his finger to enlarge the hole and sliced through Baez's pectoral muscle. So, when I read this, cutting this part of a bodybuilder was actually compared to cutting the Achilles tendon of a sprinter. So, pretty big deal what he's doing right now. Pimienta did not stop any of it, as she was not sure how bad it was for Baez, and also she was intent on obtaining evidence, which I can't blame her. I wouldn't know what's right and what's wrong in that situation. But also, it's like, are you going to let him go under this doctor that messed you up so bad? Silvestri opened the incision further with a tool that resembled a cake cutter, which had a noticeably dirty wooden handle bent perpendicularly. He inserted a deflated female breast under Baez's skin and filled it with saline. After midnight, Silvestri finished sewing up the incisions with amateur cross stitches and neglected the crucial step of closing the interior tissue. Silvestri told Baez not to worry that the implants seemed large and that it was a normal inflammation. Baez waited over the next few weeks for the inflammation to subside, and it never did. 6 weeks after the surgery, he realized he owned female breasts. And conveniently, on May 6th, 1999, Silvestri fled the country.
Valid.
So, in wake of Silvestri's disappearance, a fourth victim came forward. She's a Colombian woman who had gone to Ocean Health for an eyelid nip and tuck. Which also, I don't know what that is. A nip and tuck of an eyelid.
Well, it's a little tuck.
How is your eyelid too long or something?
It's just a little nip and it's a little tuck.
I don't know what it means.
It's not that hard. It's a little nip, little tuck.
Well, he did not nip and tuck. I can assure you of this. She was completely mutilated and unable to shut her eyes completely.
Damn. The nip.
Not a nip and tuck.
Big nip.
Big nip, no big tuck. Nip. So, Aaron Feld arranged for reconstructive surgery for all four known victims, and all were in the end okay! Yay! Minus permanent scars, but they're all okay. They're back to normal, I believe. So, that is very good. So, Julio Montes Doca, the clinic's anesthesiologist, and Sophie Baza were arrested, and lawsuits were being made as well as testimonies, but obviously Silvestri was gone. He avoided police for 5 years, and in late 2004, investigators eventually got a tip that led them to Belize, where Silvestri was found. Can you guess what he was doing?
What was he doing, Sarah?
He was not only practicing medicine, he was teaching classes to medical students at a university.
Mad respect. Get that coin.
I mean, illegally getting that coin, but also filling an entire generation of people with terrible medical knowledge. That. Stop!
Coin is coin.
Well, the coin that he was making, with the coin he was making, he faced up to 45 years in prison. But listen to this. He struck a bargain and pleaded guilty, which got him 7 years. I don't know how the legal system works. Each victim that Ehrenfeld represented, which was Bernal, Baez, and Pimienta, they all agreed to the 7 years so they could move on and pursue a civil suit, each asking around $10 million. And Ehrenfeld was like, you know, I am not sure how you are going to collect this money, because he charged you $3,000 a surgery. Like, and he had, like, no clients. I do not know how he's going to pay you. So that's basically the story. And I'm going to end on a quote from Miami Beach captain Charles Press. He said, quote, "It was a butcher job you wouldn't want to happen to your dog. I've been here 25 years and I thought I had seen it all until this. It was sickening how he did it." The end.
Yay.
Yay. Thoughts, comments, questions?
You know, none of the above. Yes.
None of the above. We're just gonna let you sit with that.
I mean, I did know about him, especially because he didn't do that much.
Yeah, I heard about him. I heard about him when I was watching Shane Dawson. And he was like, and he just basically said the story about Baez and that it was videotaped and that he got 7 years. I had no idea about the other girls' stories, and that is. The one that really got me was the Staples. Like, that is, you don't use staples on a person, period. Like, I don't know what to tell you. Oh, that was really gross. But at least on the bright side, no one died, I think. He did have other clients that weren't named, and I understand they probably didn't want to come forward because... that's probably something embarrassing to talk about. Like, Baez, like I said, he had to walk around with these female breasts for, like, a couple months. He would get mocked. His kids would get mocked. And it was all around a terrible, just a terrible situation for everyone involved. But that was the case of Reynaldo Silvestre. There you go. I hope you enjoyed. If you, I'm gonna try to stay away from the more gruesome photos, but I am gonna post some of the photos of Baez, after the surgery on the Instagram. And if you would like to see those, you can follow us on Instagram at Blood and Guts Pod. We are on Twitter at Blood_GutsPod. You can listen to us anywhere you want. All of our streaming platforms are located on our website. I know our website name. bloodandgutspod.wixsite.com/horrorpodcast. You can submit us any case you want. Let us know if you want us to cover the several doctor deaths that exist.
Only one.
But why do they call Harold Shipman Dr. Death? Because they're unoriginal. He existed before Chris Dunst.
Good job.
I don't know his name. He existed before. He killed so many people. Like, so many freaking people. Like, over, what was it, like 250 something? Yeah. He killed so many people. That is a lot of people. Better. Stop. We don't condone any of these actions. And if you are feeling so inclined, pretty much everywhere that you can get a podcast, you're able to rate, review, follow, go ahead and tap those buttons. I love tapping buttons. It's like my favorite thing in the entire world, but like physical buttons, but you know, iPhone buttons are good as well. You, you can tap those buttons. We'd really appreciate it. It helps us get the word out about the podcast. And we hope you have a lovely day. What's the PSA?
You know, maybe go to med school.
Do background checks and maybe on your cosmetic surgeons.
If you fail, not once, or twice, or thrice, maybe it's time.
It's not for you.
Another career.
Yes, preferably one where you don't deal with people.
You know, it's like that. Sometimes you gotta change your mind, and just
if you want, know,
do something different.
Try something else. Like, what's another fun career option? Dog grooming. I don't want this man around a dog. Just kidding. I really said, yup, and then
yeah,
nope.
Maybe your career is not
do background
in the cards.
Maybe a
yeah,
job
maybe
is
just
not
in the cards for you.
If you want to make coin, you either do it or you don't do it. Like you do it all the way or you don't commit to it at all, because you simply just cannot going around saying you're a freaking doctor and leaving people with botched bodies. And oh my god, that show Botched, I totally forgot that existed. I've never watched that show. Yeah. And I don't think I ever want to. I saw like one episode of it once, and I saw these really, really like large, I'm gonna stop.
I think that's your best call.
I think that's enough for today. Hope you have a wonderful day that is full of healthy and happy plastic surgeries if you choose to get them. But remember, you're beautiful.
Dear God.
Bye, everyone.